That was lovely. Thank you. That was beautiful. What a way to go through life if we could all lead with love, yes? My goodness. You will not be disappointed if you make the effort. I can promise you that. You will not be. Picking up from where I began speaking about Melissa, and to some extent my own life, I feel so blessed to have come into this work, this teaching, and then this work, because I learned midway through the journey of life that my life could be what I wanted it to be, and that I could experience something other than what I was experiencing, and I could feel something other than what I was feeling as I was careening from one calamity to another. I realized, I learned that that was not necessarily required. It's what I allowed to have happen to me. And my life is very, very different at this point, and I will always be grateful for that. Last week, I spoke a little bit about Passover. Tomorrow night, actually, is Passover. But told the story of Moses leading the Israelites, quote-unquote, out of bondage and into a different experience, which wound up being an experience of wilderness for a while. Doesn't need to be. That's a metaphor. We find ourselves very often being locked into a way of life, being slaves to habits and fears and concerns and worries and quote-unquote conventional wisdom, which is an oxymoron in itself, because conventional thoughts are not usually wise ones. The story of Moses and the Israelites is a story of evolving consciousness, of moving from living almost like an animal, only reacting to things that happen to us and hoping that somebody will make decisions for us, to asserting our individuality, stepping out first away from an oppressive situation. And then this story of the Exodus continues on, where all of a sudden, once they have gotten across the Red Sea and they are no longer in peril from the enemy, from the oppressors, they find themselves for 40 years lost in the desert. It's not that big a desert. I was looking at the map last night, actually, because I was watching Lawrence of Arabia, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So I got out my National Geographic Atlas, and I'm going, okay, here's the Gulf of Aqaba, and it's 200 miles from the Gulf of Aqaba to Cairo, and Lawrence crossed it on a camel in 4 days. It's not that big a deal. So why were they lost? Why am I lost? Why do we get lost for either 40 years or 40 days and 40 nights or anything? Well, because in the Bible and that tradition, 40 simply means as long as it takes. That's the purpose of these stories. And as long as it takes is always up to us. At some point we will decide, I don't need to do this anymore. Your 40 days or 40 years can be literal, not figurative. Could be 4 hours when you think, I know better than this. I don't need to do this anymore, for crying out loud. Make a choice. Move on. See, that's the point. Make a choice and move on. But in the moving on, we have to be completely ready and willing to give up the past to make way for something new. You cannot be fully attached to the past if you want to create something new, be it a new life, a new job, a new song, a new habit, a new book, a new anything. We cannot be attached, addicted to the past. We need to find a way to be invested in the future, which is to be fully present right now, make a choice about something that I want to experience or create, and be willing to give up what I was formerly attached to, thinking that that was going to get me where I want to go, but obviously is not the answer after 40 days and 40 nights and 40 years. You can't get there from here. If you're not there already, it means this is not the path. Warren Buffett had this great saying that the chains of habit are too light until they are too heavy to be broken. We don't even notice what chains we are carrying or bound with, because they're little things that all of a sudden, after a lifetime, may be so heavy we think, oh, there's no way I can do that. Yeah, there always is a way. There always is a way. And the way is to really decide. Decide means to cut off, to decide that that is no longer what I want in my life, and come up with an original idea. Here is where I am different than other ministers in our teaching. I don't think you need to sit around and vision for an idea. I think the Holy Spirit or the Creator gave us a mind and an imagination to make up something and astonish it. The greatest thinkers in our teaching do teach a practice of visioning and whatnot, and I don't get it. I lovingly say, I don't get it. You think about it. What do you mean, what does the Holy Spirit want me to do? I gave you a mind. Surprise me. Right? It's just me. I'm the only one that thinks that way. And I'm okay with it. And I am okay with that because I came into this teaching under a teacher named Dr. David Walker, and I heard about it's up to me to have a new thought. It's up to me to have a new thought. I'm not trying to reinvent Christianity or Christian Science as much as I appreciate so many things. I want to learn to have new thoughts by being completely free of the past, taking a deep breath, asking myself, what do I want now? Now, here's the deal. And the deal is also the beauty part of this whole opportunity. You can experience whatever you would like to experience. If you name it, if you name that experience, and come up with an idea which becomes a path for you to walk, it's quite simple, but it takes so much courage to do this, which is why we gather together to support each other, even if it is unspoken. We are not like Israelites in the story, in the Torah, which means like, oh my gosh, if I leave here, I'm leaving everything I've ever known. I'm leaving my home. I'm leaving my job. I'm leaving everything. I'm leaving all this kind of stuff. You don't really ever leave everything all at once. We're not talking about that. We're talking about giving up one thing in the past to create a new idea, a new path into the future. And we create by working on one thing at a time. One thing at a time. There are very few of us that have total revolutionary experiences where overnight everything is different. The only person I can think of who that happens for is the guy who gets elected pope. It's like all of a sudden you're pope. And I always thought, like, if I was elected Pope, I'd go, well, I was supposed to have pizza with my friend Ralph next week. What do you mean I can't go back to Argentina? I'm the Pope now. Who's going to feed my cat? You're there, and everything is different forever. You got a different wardrobe. You got to learn a different language. You don't get to go home. Who pays his car insurance on the old car in Argentina? I don't know. I guess they have ways of handling that. But other than that, that kind of doesn't happen to us. Things aren't that different in a revolutionary way. So we pick one thing at a time. One project at a time. Even an idea, even. It couldn't be more important than an idea about how I think about myself and who I am. Who do I really think I am? Well, I'm a child of God, which entitles everyone to get a child's ticket at the movie theater. Try that out, I dare you. I'm a child of God. But what does that mean? You have free rein wherever you go. So what is it that you would like to do now, you see? That's what's up for every one of us every week, every day, or every hour. What's up next? What is the next best thing you can do? Not next best in terms of being second best, but what is the next in the list of things I want to experience and accomplish in my life? What is the next good thing that I can give my mind to, my energy to, and what do I have to do? Who do I have to be? What do I need to get rid of in order to be present with this aspiration? This is largely, as all of our activities are, they are spiritual activities. They are ideas and they are energies that take place in consciousness, in mind first. But there are also practices that we can embrace, which impress our subconscious mind that we mean business and we are ready to move on with it. There's a yin and yang aspect to this. One's about letting go and one's about making a plan. Does this make sense? Okay. In our Keys to the Kingdom class, which I say this every time, but I love working it as well as teaching it, we have gotten to the week where we're getting rid of stuff. And this is the time of year when I invite everybody in the center to engage in the 100 Thing Challenge. What in God's name is he talking about? Everybody, get rid of 100 things this week. Impress your mind that you do not... Is that going to be a challenge for some of us in the front? Yeah, perhaps it is. I found 3 bottles of shampoo with like this much shampoo in the bottom. Garbage! Throw it out. Or wash your hair 3 times. Lather, rinse. Lather, rinse. Says you're supposed to do that on the bottle anyway. Go through your stuff. I had no idea, and my possessions are pretty lean. I had no idea how much debris I had visually around my apartment. Because, you know, we save all our bags now that we have to. And I've got all these bags lined up on top of the refrigerator. I had dozens of empty boxes from Amazon.com because I might need them. I'm going to have dozens more by the time it's Christmas to send things out. Why am I saving all this stuff? I had a couple of photographs that I realized I no longer needed. They didn't bear the memory and the feeling of things that they once did. I have some books that I'm done with. I've got some CDs that I'm done with. Get them all in circulation. This is the point. Do we get into circulation by feeding it? By unburdening ourselves? by making space for something new. We love to quote Ralph Waldo Emerson, who says that nature abhors a vacuum. I don't know if it does or not, but it's a fun thing to say. But if we create space in our physical environment, as well as in our mind, and we'll talk more about that next week. But if first we first create space in our physical environment, it impresses our own subconscious at a truly deep level that, no, I am not beholden to any mere things. Of course not. But unless we step into that, we forget. So I even got rid of my sofa. It was so woeful. I bought this thing 4 years ago. It was $299. I thought, how bad can it be? It was repulsive. It's gone. So there's this great big space in my apartment now, and it is holding that space for a new sofa to come. And I've done my homework, and I know which one I want. When I have the cash and I can write a check, I will buy it. Probably in 6 weeks. Great. So get rid of stuff first. And do it. You can have fun with it. It's great fun. And any books you want to get rid of, bring them here to the Center for Spiritual Living, and we use that as our stash for the used book sale on May 4th. Right? So start bringing them in next week, for the next 3 weeks. You can unload yourself, unburden your shelves, make a few bucks for the center, and whatever is left over we'll take to the library or out of the closet. We'll do half of the heavy lifting for you. Unburden yourself. Tell yourself that you do mean business, that you are free, that you are not beholden or a slave to anything, and really challenge yourself, which is what we do in this class. I challenge people to release something. I was going to say get rid of. That's not the point. We mindfully release something that used to be important, that used to really hold some feeling of importance, to stretch, to be willing to stretch in that area so you can say, yes, I am the boss of me. Sure. We all have more than 100 things. Please go ahead and do that. So, the other thing, that's releasing the past and making space for the new. What we also learn in this teaching is that if we don't have a vision, that what will come into our experience is whatever is going around. You don't want to have that happen. You want to have whatever energies you want to experience, you want to direct them for your specific and particular use. That requires imagination, and it also requires doing something about it. I was talking with Tim Barber, one of our fine practitioners, a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about a variety of things, but somehow this must have come up, and Tim told me about something that he does on a regular basis. So Tim, I'm going to invite Tim to tell you about it, the way he explained it to me. And I'm going to be doing this myself right now. Again, it's fine to be free and open and available, but like, you know, I'm available for what? Well, you've got to impress Divine Mind with what it is that you specifically want. So this is Tim Barber. Let's say good morning to Tim. Hello, friend. And Tim is going to share some ideas about a technique that he uses, which is called pro forma. Yes?
Great. Yes.
Thank you, Tim.
When John asked if I would talk about this, I had some serious reservations. I totally believe in making plans, but if you've heard me speak from this podium before, you know I've made some bad ones. I made plans that I didn't really deserve to have the result of. I've taken some wrong turns. I've kissed a few frogs. I feel like before I understood treatment and science of mind, I don't know that I ever would have had the kind of success that I currently have, that I am in the process that I'm currently in. And what changed it for me was something that I learned from Dr. Walker early on. He used to say, treat and move your feet. Treat and move your feet. Now, I think about that. So many times I was moving my feet without the treatment. But what I realized is that sequence is really important. First, you treat, establish the consciousness of, make sure that you love it, that you invest in it, that you deserve it, and then you move your feet. Now, treatment in my world takes two forms. One I call the short form, where I'm in the middle of a testosterone-fueled argument with somebody, muttering under my breath, preparing for some confrontation, or if I'm about to make a phone call to ask for a job or to buy something or turn somebody down or express a criticism, that short-form treatment that precedes that is really simple. It really is knowing that I'm enough, knowing that my best and highest good is about to come out of my mouth and return to me bigger and better than I could have imagined. There's another form that I call the long form. And the long form for me is, it's very specific. It's, in fact, it's as much for maintenance as it is for creativity. Sometimes you just treat to keep going what you've already created. But sometimes you're really treating to create something. And in that long form creative treatment, I think the most important thing for me is it's specific, it's vivid, you really own it, you really picture it. And something else that I learned from Dr. Walker, there's no Irving in that treatment. He used to say, there's no Irving in your treatment. Irving does not belong in your treatment. You're treating your own consciousness. It cannot include anybody else's. It is not dependent upon anybody else's. So in my long-form treatments, I make sure that I leave that out. I don't hang it on anything that is anybody else's. Now, in my 19 or so years as an architectural firm, two and a half years ago, I had this kind of wild idea that I would create this furnishings company that I call Auteur Furnishings, which is a word that means kind of visionary. And I've got a team of colleagues at my office who, I've got to say, we're not into it. But I'm about to commit a lot of resources, time, money, staff time, advertising, website, all of that stuff, to this brainchild that I've got that I'm pretty sure is going to really give me my creative expression. And so one of the first things I did was to write this pro forma. Now, you can be on the internet and you can see all kinds of outlines for a pro forma. I'm going to give you just a brief outline of what mine was, knowing that it was about this company. You can maybe take something away from that for some idea that you might want to manifest. So the one that I wrote has a 1 year, a 2 year, and a 5 year fruition. So I had to write it three times: 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. It has to assume that all the functions that happen start on day one. So you're entirely prepared on day one of that new venture. It's not a slip into it. It's a having everything thought out, because a lot of these pro formas are used to go to a venture capitalist and say, I have a new idea. I want you to fund it. I want you to start my new idea from the ground up. But obviously, you can't just walk in with something that isn't reasoned. So in that 1 year, 2 year, 5 year plan, you have to think about the costs that will begin the job, begin the product, because they change over time. You have to think of delays and things that might slow you down or might restrict your success. You've got to use a high-low mechanism, so you try to figure out what's the worst that would happen, what's the best that could happen. So you try to put your expectations in that range. You've got to have a really clear goal. Who, what, when, where, why, all of those things have to be really thought out, and they're mostly personal. It's not something you can get out of a spreadsheet that somebody else wrote. It's really about who you want to do what, when, and how. I think the why is probably the most important part of that pro forma, and we almost always leave that out of our plans. Why? Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to go to that effort? Why do I want those results? If you really think through the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, then you can get to the how. Now, the how has got to be also very specific. There are steps to design your venture. In my case, I had to figure out, first of all, how I was going to draw and design the prototypes for the lighting and the furniture. I had to figure out how I would make the prototypes, who would make them, where I'd get the money for that, how I would test them, how I would refine them. I had to figure out who my market was. To whom would I be selling these? Or would I even be selling them at all? Would I be licensing these? I had to think about how they would be packaged and labeled and shipped. I had to think about who would do the administration of this. Who takes the call? Who answers the email? How does that work administratively? Where do I find that person? I had to think about what the projected revenues might be. The incoming cash, the breakdown compared with my competitors, the breakdown compared to anything that I've done similar in my own experience. So I had made and sold furniture and lighting before. So knowing that how that worked, what it cost, how I managed to sell it was important, but also looking around to find out how other people did it, how other companies did it, was a really necessary part of the research. I had to project my operating expenses. For example, rent and utilities, all sort of the fixed costs. And then testing and packaging and labeling and advertising and staff and website and insurance and inventory costs and financing, interest on loans, all of those variable costs had to be estimated, again, in the 1 year, the 2 year, and the 5 year plan. After you do all of that, you can estimate your profits. What you think you'll make as profit once you've taken your revenue and your expenses. And then, of course, what tax do you have to pay on that? And what's really left over? That specific pro forma I wrote 3 times for my 1 year, my 2 year, and my 5 year plan for Auteur Furnishings. And then I gave my designs out to have the prototypes made. Then I tested and changed and revised the prototypes. And then I did the marketing and all the other parts that gave that business legs. But the most important part of all of that pro forma was what happened before it, the treatment. And so even now, every day, when I'm tackling the business of that secondary company that I created, I still have to give the treatment. I have to deserve it. I have to know why I want it. I have to check in. Maybe I'm changing. Maybe I don't want it as much, or maybe I want it to be different. But the treatment and the establishment of the consciousness of it, the free and easy expression of it that makes some sense, fuels the perspective that I view when I reread the pro forma. It fuels how I talk with people when I'm on the phone with them about the product. It fuels how I deal with my team and how we talk about it among ourselves and how we change or accelerate or grow our plans for expansion. It's all based on that consciousness. So the risk of making plans that specific without developing the consciousness first is a big one. I've done it many times, and it has failed every time that I haven't developed the consciousness first. But something else Dr. Walker said to me, I think about every day when I'm beginning this work. He said, you are enough. Always have been, always will be. And so every time I have one of these big ideas and I start to make one of these big plans, I start with that. I'm enough. I always have been. I always will be. And that gives the rest of all this think through and planning an engine and an energy that it wouldn't have without it. Thanks.
Some music. Did you take notes?
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. Yeah, this world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Yeah, another day goes by and still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, you won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart. In this world will be a better place. Yes, this world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Yeah, take a good look around, and if you're looking down, put a little love in your heart. I hope when you decide, kindness will be your guide. Put a little love in your heart, in the world will be a better place. Yes, this world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Take a good look around, and if you're looking down, put a little love in your heart. I hope when you decide, kindness will be your guide. Put a little love in your heart, and this world will be a better place. Yes, this world will be a better place for you and me. Just wait and see. Put a little love in your heart. Put a little love in your heart. Put a little love in your heart. Yeah, put a little.